All right, I'm going to preach a message this morning that I've entitled, Christ is All I Need. My text verse this morning is that middle one that we read a moment ago from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, we live in an uncertain time. There are a lot of people worried about a lot of things. Tomorrow, if everything goes according to their plan, General Motors is going to declare bankruptcy. And I work for that company, as many people did in this room. And if you would have asked me years ago, could have this ever have happened, we would have said, no way, it would never have happened. And yet, it's going to happen. And that, as well as other things that are happening in our world today, has a lot of people worried, a lot of people anxious, a lot of people fretting. And this has been on my heart all week. I just want to be an encouragement this morning and tell you, because Jesus lives, all of us can face tomorrow. And I just want to tell you this morning that he will supply our every need, and he is all that we need. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things." And that verse is talking about things that we need, like food and clothes and shelter. "And all these things shall be added to you." There's a little chorus that we sing every now and then that goes like this. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. And I want to tell you this morning that the truth of that little course is what we need today. That little course is true, and that every single person that's here needs to know that Christ is all you need. Doesn't matter what your need is this morning. If you have a spiritual need, if you need to get close to God, if you've never been saved, Christ is the answer to that need. If you have a heartache this morning, some sorrow that is in your life, I want to tell you this morning that Christ is all you need. If you have a financial burden this morning and you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day, I will remind you this morning that Christ can meet that need. If you have a problem with a child or your children and you're worried about them, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus can meet that need as well. That verse when it says that he'll meet all of our need according to his riches in glory, it's true. And I want to tell you something, I have not seen nor ear heard the riches that God has in glory to use to meet our needs. He can meet every single one of them. This morning, a simple sermon, three reasons why Jesus is all that we need. Three reasons that he's all that I need. Number one, he's all that I need because he paid for all my yesterdays. He paid for all my yesterdays. I have a confession to make this morning. I'm not perfect. Some of you said, "We know that, preacher. You didn't have to say it." But I'm going to confess it anyway. I am not perfect. When the Bible says in Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, no, not one," that verse was talking about me. When it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," that verse is talking about me. I know some of you, not many, but some of you may find it hard to believe, but I am a sinner. I have a temper. There have been times that I didn't control that temper very well. I haven't always obeyed my mom and dad. I haven't always done what I know to be right. And one day, in my mind and in my heart, I stood before God, who will judge the whole world. And I heard him say, as he called my name, he said, "Darryl Manning, the charge against you is that you are a vile, wicked sinner. How do you plead?" And as I thought about that charge, that I was a vile and wicked sinner, I said to myself, I said, you know, I've never killed anybody. I've never committed adultery. I've never stolen anything. I mean, I've never committed a big sin, but as I thought about those things in my mind, that scripture from James chapter 2, verse 10, where the Bible says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all," that scripture came to my mind. And even though I might have tried to plead my righteousness, even though I might have tried to say to God, I'm a sinner, but I'm not a bad sinner. I mean, I've committed what some people might call little sins, but when I realized that those little sins made me just as guilty in God's sight as a murderer, as a thief, as an adulterer. And Jesus said, "How do you plead?" Or God said, "How do you plead?" I had no choice but to say, "Guilty as charged. I'm a vile, wicked sinner." And then I heard the righteous judge say, "The sentence for your wicked, vile sin is separation from me. Forever and ever and ever, you are going to be separated from the God that made you." That's what the Bible says when it says the wages of sin is death. And I thought to myself as I heard that sentence, oh no, not that. Please God, not that. You see, I realized that there was a part of me that needed God. I realized there was a part of me that was created to fellowship with God. That one that knows everything, that is all powerful, that gives me a purpose for living. And when he said, "The sentence for your vile, wicked sin is to be separated from me forever," I threw myself on the mercy of the court and I wept in my heart and in my mind. I said, "Oh God, please not that. Please do not separate me from you." And the judge, the righteous judge, who will judge every single person that stands before him in their sin, the judge said to me, "There's a way that you can escape that judgment. There's something that I've done for you that will buy your pardon. I've paid the penalty. I've sent my son, Jesus Christ, to pay what you owe for your sin." That's what the Bible says when it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "But the gift of God," not something we earn, not something that we deserve. All of us, if we look in the mirror and we're truthful with God, would have to say we are vile, wicked sinners. And look, I don't know some of you. Some of you are probably better than I am. The sins that you've committed are just little ones and probably hadn't been very many of them. But you listen to me, in God's sight, you are just as guilty in his sight as the worst sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and what we deserve is to be separated from him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But listen to me, God loved us. And when we were yet sinners, he sent his only begotten son into the world to die for our sins. That's why it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's why it says, "But God commendeth," or proved his love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And he paid for every one of our sins. We sing that song, "For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is all I need because he paid for all my yesterdays. And he's all you need as well, because he will pay for every one of your yesterdays. He must not like my preaching, Robin. And Jesus says he'll do the same for you. He'll pay for every one of your yesterdays. There's not a sin that you committed that wasn't nailed on a cross with Christ. Every single one of them. And he's all we need because he'll pay for all our yesterdays. Number two, he's all I need because he gives me strength for today. He gives me strength for today. And listen to what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength. Psalm 18, verse 32. It is the Lord who girdeth me with strength. Psalm 29, 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. And Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know many of you are like me. You have more to do than you have time and energy to do. You have a list, a to-do list that will never get done because people keep adding to it. But we all have more to do than we can do. And we all get tired. We all get worn out. But I want to remind you this morning that we, if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you know him as your Savior, we do not operate in our own strength. We operate in his strength. When we get tired, he is the one that strengtheneth us. When we fall down, he is the one that lifts us up. He is our strength. Now you listen to me. I've said this before, but it's a simple statement, but it is true. If you are alive today, you are alive for one of two reasons. Number one, you are alive to get saved. If you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's why you are alive. That's why you are here this morning. Say, oh, no, I'm here this morning because somebody invited me to come. That doesn't matter. Yes, that was the mechanism by which God used to get you here. But if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you are here today to hear the gospel that Jesus died for your sin, that he offers salvation to every person. And if you'll come and ask him, he'll save you. Now, if you're saved, the reason that you are here is to serve. Serve the one that saved you. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then at verse 10 it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so if you're saved this morning, he wants you to serve him. How do we serve him? Very simple. We humble ourselves and we lift him up. We put ourselves down and we lift Christ up. And regardless of the transactions or the interactions you have with people, that's how you serve your God. You put yourself down and humble yourself and you lift him up. The Bible says, and Jesus said this, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's our responsibility as Christians, like we talked about in the adult Sunday school lesson this morning about Philip, one of the first deacons who loved to tell people about Jesus and was willing to serve Jesus wherever he was. He loved to tell people about Jesus. And if you're a Christian here this morning and you're still on this earth, you are here to tell somebody else about Christ. That's why you're here. If Jesus didn't have somebody else for you to tell them about him, he would take you to heaven right now. Amen? He wouldn't leave you in this mess. If he was done with you, he'd take you home. But the fact that you're still here means that he has something that he wants you to do, means that he has somebody that he wants you to reach for him. And so, when you get tired, remember, it's not your strength that you operate in. When you get discouraged, remember that he's the one, he is your encourager. And when you just get so wore out, you just don't know what to do, remember that verse in Isaiah chapter 40 that says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Jesus is all I need this morning. Number one, because he paid for all my yesterdays. Number two, because he gives me strength for today. And number three, because he is my hope for tomorrow. My hope for tomorrow. Psalm 39, verse 7, the Bible says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. All you listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, you listen to this. Do not put your hope in the things of this world. The things of this world will pass away. The things of this world will rot. The things of this world, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, won't amount to anything. Just listen. Don't put your hope in the things of the world. I mentioned in Sunday school, I was talking to 5 or 6 people this week. They're worried about what's going to happen. They're worried about how they're going to make it. They're worried about how they're going to pay their bills and how they're going to live. Listen, listen, listen. Jesus is all you need. He will give you, he said, he promised, I will give you what you need. And in the book of Philippians, it said, we read it, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. I want to tell you something. My God has riches in glory that outweighs all the money in the banks, all the money in the mines, all the money that this world has. My God has more riches in heaven than I hath see or ear heard. And he can meet our needs. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. You listen to me. God knows what's going on. And he will take care of us. In Titus chapter 3, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according in the hope of eternal life. You listen, if you're a child of God this morning, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God this morning, you own everything that God owns. If you're a child of God this morning, he is your father, and just like an earthly father is responsible to take care of their children, so our Father in heaven is responsible to take care of us. And by the way, he has and he will continue to do it. We don't need to worry. We don't need to fret. We don't need to be anxious about anything. Yeah, the world might change, and we might have to make some changes in our life. But I guarantee you, based on the promises that are in this book and the God that made them, we will never have a need unmet. Never. We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now let me ask you this morning, what's your hope in? What's your hope? What's your hope in? Well, I've got a good pension. Well, good for you. I hope it lasts. Well, I've got a lot of money saved in the bank. Well, good for you. I hope the bank don't go bankrupt. Well, my freezer is full. Well, I hope the electricity don't go out. Hey, listen to me. I mean, just name the things that we normally name, the things that we depend on. I said in Sunday school, you know what? Maybe God's doing this so we'll learn to trust him. Most of us haven't really had to learn to trust him because we've had everything we wanted our whole life. We've never done without anything. And maybe God is just saying, look, let's just take away everything they got and let's see if they still trust me. And I want to tell you something. If he takes everything away, if he takes everything away from us and we have nothing left but him, we will be better off than having everything the world has to offer. Say, preacher, I have a tough time believing that. Then your faith in God needs to grow. Your faith in God needs to grow. We need to realize that he is all we need. So what's your hope in? Things of the world or in Christ? Where do you get your strength from? From yourself or from him? And who's paying for all your yesterdays? Trying to do it yourself? The Bible says that all our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. And until we come and stand before him as sinners and admit that we're sinners and look to Jesus and what he did on Calvary to save us, we have no hope. We have no hope. He's all you need this morning. He paid for all your yesterdays. He'll give you strength for today and hope for tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, for all eternity. All you have to do is come to him. All you have to do is just come as a sinner who needs a Savior and take Jesus. Say, preacher, I didn't come this morning planning to get saved. That's good, because God knew you'd be here. He knew what was prepared. He knows your heart right now. He knows what you need. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. We're going to have an invitation. I'll invite you to come. And we'll take the Bible and we'll show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. All the promises that are in this book become yours once you do that. He becomes your Father. And He becomes responsible for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, for the promises that are in it. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Good people. But Father, they've never had their sins paid for by the only one that who can pay for them. And so I pray this morning you'd make the gospel plain to them. They'll understand they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid for it. And if they just come and simply take His payment on Calvary, you would save them. And you would give them a home in heaven. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to every person here that doesn't know Jesus. And you'll make today the day they decide to trust Him. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that you'd realize, help us to realize the kind of God that we have, the kind of God that will meet our every need if we just trust Him, the kind of God that will give us what we need from day to day. And we can say, like Paul, I am full and abound because of what God has done for me. And I pray, Father, again, that you'd just help us to know in our heart and in our soul that you're a God that will meet every need. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to honor and build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.